It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019 at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a man struggles to get others to believe his true ghost story. The memory of a paranormal experience haunts a woman to this day. And workmen discover their tools missing as they remodel a haunted house. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now. 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is. 855-853-4802 is the phone number. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Support the show. Keep us on the air. All you gotta do is go to ghostpodcast.com or our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/realghoststories. For only $5 a month, you get access to all of our bonus episodes exclusive to extra podcast people, EPPs as we call them. And there's like 250 some of those. You get advanced episodes of the show as we release them, a free e-copy of our Amazon best-selling book, and more. It's all there, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony, and normally I'd say Carol Hughes, but we're talking earlier in the day here, and it's more or less sounds like Joan Rivers today is joining us.
Oh, thank you, or not. I don't know.
It'd be great if I was sick at the same time, because I kind of sound like Casey Kasem when I'm sick. It could be two dead celebrities doing the show today. It'd be great.
Actually, had you talked to me like 2 days ago, even last night, I would have sounded like a dead celebrity.
So there we go.
Because I felt like one.
Welcome back to Earth, Joan. We're glad that you've come up from the dead and
to join us
for an episode today.
Thank you.
You just had the
accent.
That's
what happens when you have strep throat. You feel like you've died. Well, especially when you get to be a certain age. It's like, I swear when I was a kid, I would bounce back from it. And then when I was in college, I'd get really sick. Then when I got out of college, I'm like, oh my God. Could never feel more sick than 20 years later. Oh, God.
You're going to listen to this and go, holy shit, I sound a lot like Joan Rivers.
I can't wait.
It's like, oh, my God, it's really good. So if you ever need, like, if you can think of any reason why you need a Joan Rivers impersonation, record those lines right now because it's great.
Or I thought you were going to say, go get strep.
Go get strep. Just go, walk around.
Find someone who has strep and get it.
Go to a school that you know recently had an outbreak of strep and just lick the bathroom walls and you're going to be good to go.
So, actually, I think you could walk into any school and just start touching every surface.
Oh, my God. I cringe when I walk into our children's schools sometimes because it's like... everyone and just the coughing and nobody covering their mouth. And the scary part is half the time when we go to like parent teacher functions and things of that nature, the kids are the ones who are like more hygienic than the parents half the time. I see the kids covering their mouths and doing what they're supposed to do because I think the school teaches, and we have a really good school district here. But it's the parents that I look at and I go, holy shit. And it's like they're just coughing left and right. And I mean, thank God somewhere someone is instilling, some decency in the kids as far as, you know, hygiene and what you should be doing when you're coughing. I dread going to the school function nights where there's a lot of parents versus just, you know, hey, you know,
go in a mask.
I've thought about it. I mean, it's like, holy
like
shit.
Like a mask, latex gloves, like you're going into surgery.
Like Michael Jackson. I'm just going to show up with a blanket over my head. Like, that's my dad over there. Yeah, that wouldn't scar the children at all.
Kiss away your germs.
Exactly. He's coming in and he looks like Walter White, like he's about to make meth. The thing is, if you did that, you'd have a lot of the parents coming up to you going, hey, can I buy some from you in the van? Or is that your van back by the river over there? Yeah.
You did dress up like him that one Halloween, and you look just like him.
I did. It was scary.
It was kind of freaky, actually.
I didn't think it was Halloween. I think I just did it. I shaved, and I'm like, I put that hat on, and I'm like, holy shit, I look like Walter White. I'm going to go to work like this today. And it was like April 5th or something. No real reason. Just going to go into work dressed as a television character.
And it was like, because when I saw you, like, it wasn't even a question. Yeah. It's like, what the hell?
That was a good time. That was
an air shift. Are you planning today?
I think I did go as him for Halloween that year, though. I did pull that back off, and I was taking a Harper around, which horrible, looked like Walter White's trick or treating with like a 2-year-old, and it's like this is great. But
because by then at Halloween you'd gotten like the coat. Mm-hmm. And like you had got the whole outfit to go.
Yeah.
It was good.
Carrying around rock candy. It was great. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go over to our first story today. It says, hey guys, my name's Matt. I live in North Jersey. I've written into the show a couple of times already. I'm the one who made a painting of his future ex-girlfriend months before they even met. I also read in about a time that I and some friends almost accidentally stabbed our friend's grandmother in the dark because we thought she was an intruder. Alcohol and knives are always a bad choice. I'd like to tack on another one, except this one takes place over the course of 3 days. Just to lay out some history, there has always been something a little off about my house, and in particular my bedroom, which also happens to be the darkest and coldest room of the house. I used to have terrible nightmares about it when I was a kid. Those kind of dreams that have you all twisted all morning. The room used to be occupied by my eldest brother, whom tragically passed away in 2017 due to a drug overdose. He used to get attacked in the middle of the night by a black mass that would sit on his chest and growl. And just as a side note, my brother had another attack a week before he died. My other brother would have the same experience as in his room. I know this is commonly known as sleep paralysis, which I too experience often. However, I'd never have anything as intense or frightening as they described. I was never able to see anything. I could only feel a dark presence. I come from a religious family, although I myself am more of a spiritual person and also the black sheep due to my own struggles with addiction and departure from the church. I'm the one who loves everything horror and Halloween, so I always wondered why none of that shit has ever happened to me. Not that I want a demon sitting on my face, but I was just curious as to why. Well, that changed a week ago. Took over my brother's room when I had to move back home after losing my apartment. My brother had moved out a couple of years prior after getting married. I hated sleeping in there. Between all the drug dreams, the drawl, and sleep paralysis, the room gives me the creeps. My old room was turned into a storage area, so it was that or the couch. Many times I took the couch. So last week, I'm in my bed. It's about midnight. Cat's not letting me sleep because he's 19 years old and doesn't stop eating. He's right next to my pillow crying, and all of a sudden, I start hearing what sounds like faint whispers. I couldn't make out anything that was being said, so I laid there quietly and focused. Then I began to hear scratching at the bottom of my door, like a deep scratching sound as if claws were very thick. I shot up and opened the door to see nothing but darkness. It's weirded out. I go back to my bed and immediately start hearing scratching again. Quickly turned on the light, ran back to the door and opened it up to the same result. Nothing. A chill ran up my spine. Grabbed some blankets, turned out my bedroom lights and laid down on the couch in the next room. There's a nightlight in the living room, so I was able to see a little bit. I realized I left my bedroom door open. After lying there for about 5 minutes staring into my black room, I began hearing something bump around in there. It sounded like it was moving around, creaking the floor and knocking on things. Understandably, I didn't get much sleep that night. Next day, I went to work very tired and freaked out, but I was happy to be out of that house. After work, I decided to go see a friend, Yvette. She lives in a small one-level house, and she also has had experiences with paranormal activity because she claims her house is also haunted. When I've been there in the past, I would only ever hear a bump or two. She'd tell me that was her ghost making noises, but I was never convinced because it was only a bump. However, on this day, shit got real. I was there maybe 5 minutes when I heard footsteps running above us, back and forth. For a split second, I just thought there were people on the next floor, and then it reminded myself that there is no second floor. Then there was banging coming from inside the walls all over the place. We sat there and just looked at each other with wide eyes and attempted to continue our conversation. She turned on the TV so we could watch a show, and a loud crash came from her hallway. It sounded like someone knocked something over. The running on the ceiling was nonstop. Whatever resides in her house did not like me being there. Why now, though? I'd been there multiple times. None of this had ever happened before. Was there something attached to me it didn't like? I was so exhausted from the lack of sleep and stress, I went home and passed out. I do recall hearing scratching that night, but I was too tired to let it bother me. The next day was Saturday, so I got up in the morning to go to class. I told the woman that sits next to me about some of the things that have been happening. Typically, she laughed and told me to stop lying, as if I have a lot to gain by telling a story like this to a random person at school. Thoughts?
Well, I don't know. Okay, because for one thing, if things are running above your head, while like, and there's no second floor, so there's no people up there, mm-hmm. like, how could you go back to watching TV?
I know.
It's like, I'm going to ignore that. But
it could be a really good American Idol episode or something. And you're just yeah. like, shit, I don't know what's going to happen here.
And seriously, if you do tell a random person, you know, somebody you sit next to in class or something, but somebody you don't know, you tell them that story. Yeah, they're going to say this. They're going to be like, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm looking around now for another place to sit. You know, so I don't know. I don't know why, like, that would all that activity would fire up that day. And maybe there was something else. But I don't know. What do you think?
It makes you wonder if it was something that was connected to the individual that was having the experience that then brought that over to the friend's house. Or if it just was the ghost of the friend's house that, you know, I think sometimes if a ghost is going to be active for someone or for certain types of people, no matter who's in that house, if that type of person is there, meaning they're sensitive to it, that you're going to get more activity. If it knows that everyone here can hear me today, then it's more likely to act that way. It's almost like a child sometimes, where if the child knows that they have a captive audience and these people are definitely going to pay attention to me, they're going to do more to get the attention.
And you know, really, like, because he said that her house had activity, it wasn't like that wasn't known. Mm-hmm. But it's not like when you're in a haunted house, I've not been in every single haunted house, but it's not like it's continuous people running around or woo, or, you know, it's quiet and calm sometimes too.
Yeah.
So it could be that he just happened to have gone there on a night where things got real yeah. and really stirred up. I don't know.
It's hard to know. There's a lot of possibilities there. Thanks for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next one says, it was about 2 years ago, my family had moved in with my grandpa after moving out of our apartment. My grandpa's house was not that new or nice looking. There was a lot of rotting wood and paint peeling from all over the house. About 4 bedrooms in the house, but we had to use one for storage. After moving our stuff into the room and getting everything fixed up, it was around 11 p.m. and we were all tired, so we decided to go to sleep. My grandpa had left the house that night, so it was just my mom and 3 other siblings. I slept in a room by myself, which was very nice for the first few weeks. I had a queen-size bed, a closet, and desk all placed in my room. The bed had been placed next to the desk, and the closet was across from my bedroom in the right corner. That night, the rest of my family was in the next room asleep, and I was not tired. So I decided to watch YouTube on my phone. I was watching a video I could plainly see out of the corner of my eye, my clothes slowly swinging, as if they'd been lightly pushed. I paused the video, gathered up some strength, and reluctantly went to go see what was happening. And see if one of my sisters was trying to scare me. I pushed back the clothes, did not see anything. I was so afraid that I slept out of the living room that night. This kept happening for almost 2 weeks. My grandpa and mom had asked me why I moved to the living room at night. I did not want to tell them what I saw, so I just said that the bed was not comfortable. After about another week, it started happening again. It stopped. After those 2 years had passed, we finally found a house. Sometimes even today, I still think about what I had seen, and it really scares me. Though not as much as other things that have happened, I try to stop thinking about it and occupy myself with something else. I also have this weird feeling of this thing where I could not go to sleep until after 3 a.m. I had a feeling of pure evil and fear until 3 a.m. had passed. Then I could just go to sleep, not feeling that fear at all. That had just recently stopped happening to me. After all this happened, I've been so infatuated with horror and ghosts and other supernatural things. I still have many, many questions about things that have occurred in my life, but not many answers. That's interesting of it holding someone captive, essentially, or you know, in an insomniac state until after 3 a.m. Oftentimes,
I would hate that.
Yeah, sometimes you hear about somebody being woken up at 3, but not being allowed to sleep. That's a whole other thing.
Well, and to lay there and be terrified on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you would just get to where, I guess I'm going to stay up in the living room and watch TV till 3 a.m. every night. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want to go to bed and lay there and be terrified.
Yeah.
But then you'd be so tired.
Yeah, I mean, it would be just something you can't escape. I mean, I think I'd be trying to be looking at, you know, sleep aids or something to help you get, you know, to that state. But it would drive me nuts. I mean, sometimes just the fear of not being able to sleep is, you know, enough to keep you awake.
And then once it happens for a while, then it kind of gets in your head, like, is it going to be like that again tonight? What's going to happen?
Yeah. Especially like when you have to like get up in the morning for, you know, a job or anything, you know, of importance or anything. It's like, well, I'm not, you know, what if? And then it just feeds and feeds and feeds. That's why I quit working altogether. and I stop being responsible for my children too, just so I can sleep at night and I don't have to worry about anything. I'm just like, fuck it, I'm not going to work anymore, and my kids don't need me, so I can sleep good.
That's so you. You've always been an irresponsible type.
It works well. Who needs Ambien when you can just give up on life?
Well, in Ambien, you don't know what you're doing anyway.
Exactly. It's a win-win.
But the weird part of that to me, because I have had, you know, just really like woken up, just absolute terror in the middle of the night. You know, most of us have. Mm-hmm. But there's no way I could lay there and be that scared. And it's 3 o'clock. And I'm like, okay. And I'm out. Like, I can't imagine. How do you, it's 3 o'clock. Oh, now I can fall asleep. Everything's fine.
I don't know what that is. That would be very difficult to overcome.
I'm glad I don't have it.
No. Thanks for sharing that story. 855-853-4802, our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online, as I mentioned before, EPPs, Extra Podcast People. You want to get some of our best ghost stories? Become one of those. Go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com, whatever platform you prefer. And for $5 a month, get access to all 250-plus bonus episodes. You get a brand new one every single week that we put out. You also get access to advanced episodes weeks before they go to the public, video content, and a free e-copy of our book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. I'll get that over to you when you sign up. That's right there. It's like a $14 value if you buy it through Amazon. Boom, you get it right away for $5 when you sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. I should mention this. I don't have anything like super official on it. I mean, not quite super official yet, but I got the email earlier today saying, okay, we're sending over the paperwork for you. So that's about as far as it is. But there'll be a new book coming out, our second book.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it should be an interesting one. This is going to be a little bit different than the first one. This one is, it's a collection of historical ghost stories.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love that stuff.
Like way, way back. Like stuff where the thought process on it is how ghost stories, you know, obviously we hear current ones all the time, but you can read a ghost story from 100 years ago or even more. And other than some of the, you know, setting changes and, you know, they don't have a cell phone in the story. It's a ghost story. There's so many. It doesn't change all that much other than some of the settings that we are in as far as what people experience. And sometimes you can look at some of these older ones now and categorize, oh, that's a shadow person before anyone was calling things a shadow person. So should be an interesting book about 13 historical stories in there. We don't have a title yet. Don't have a release date. I believe they're shooting for later this year, judging by the timeline that they gave me for getting this thing done, but it should be an interesting collection, and I'll have more details on that as it progresses.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah, so that's in the works. So I have to do more work, and I can't not worry about anything at night. I'll be awake till 3 a.m. now. So
well, okay. Now you got something to do.
Start caring about the kids again too. Damn it. I'm kidding, of course, everyone. It's a joke. It is a joke. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's get our next letter. It says, selling real estate is an adventure unto itself. Sellers and buyers are always full of surprises, but occasionally the homes hold a few on their own. In April 1989, I did not believe in ghosts. No real reason to it. It wasn't logical, but unfortunately, the story is true. That spring, I listed a beautiful 200-year-old Italian-style mansion on 6 acres. The home was halfway through renovations when the owner gave me my first tour. We walked through the grand entryway separating the twin front parlors. The one on the left served as the living room. A beautiful antique grand piano nearly filled the music room in the right parlor. A large formal dining room and just beyond, and a renovated gourmet kitchen and bath finished the first floor tour. We walked up to the wide curved staircase in the center of the home, circling to the third floor tower. The tower was one room surrounded by windows where one could overlook the entire farm and surrounding countryside. Heading down to the second floor, 5 of the bedrooms were in various stages of construction, that is, all but one. The 6th bedroom, painted a sunny yellow with white trim, was left untouched. The owner explained that the room couldn't be changed. If they tried to paint it, the new paint faded, and the yellow walls greeted them again the next morning. The temperature in that one room was a constant 70 degrees no matter what season. It was the young son's room of the owner's in the late, and she said that he was one of the ghosts in the house. When you walked into the room, you felt a presence as if someone was there. It was a calm presence, but it felt as if the eyes were on you. I wanted out of that room, but I don't believe in ghosts. According to the owner, sightings had been seen of a young boy, a man, and 2 men. While only her family were at home. While the workmen were there, tools disappeared all over the home, never to be seen again. Noises of something being dragged and footsteps coming from upstairs while the workmen were downstairs were reported. I, of course, totally discounted the stories because I don't believe in ghosts. Goodbye, I said to my new client. It's been a most enjoyable afternoon. I left, excited about my unique historical listing, and couldn't wait for my first open house in 2 weeks. The day of the open house was beautiful, 60 degrees, sunny. Tools were put away, home was gleamed, visitors entered in the kitchen door where they sampled homemade donuts, mint iced tea, and coffee while they waited for one of the 2 agents to take them on a tour. The agent then let the prospective buyer out the front door and returned to the kitchen for the next visitor. Towards the end of the 3-hour opening, I let a very nice woman out the front door where a cold breeze hit me when I closed the door. Turning to go back to the kitchen, I glanced to my right. Sitting at the piano in the music room was a young woman dressed in a plain gray dress, her dark hair drawn back in a bun. Her large dark eyes held no light. She was sitting quietly, just looking down at the keys. No music was playing. The hair on the back of my neck rose with goosebumps. Startled by seeing a visitor unattended, I went back to the kitchen to find the other agent. "Why is there someone wandering around the house without you?" There's no one here, the other agent answered. Well, maybe she came in the front door, I inquired. In that case, there's a lady waiting for you in the music room. The owner asked, what does she look like? As I described, the owner smiled, you've just met Sally Ann. Who's that, I asked with apprehension. Our ghost. The hair on the nape of my neck stood up and I broke out in goosebumps. Yet again, I raced back to the front rooms. The music room is empty. The living room area is empty. I ran up the stairs. Bedrooms were empty. The only place left, the tower. Taking the stairs two at a time, I reached the door. It squeaked as it slowly opened. Empty. She was gone. Vanished. My heart was pounding. It was shaking as I slowly descended the stairs and walked back to the kitchen. This was silly. I don't believe in ghosts. Reaching the kitchen, I sat down and the owner pushing a cup of strong coffee in front of me. My hands were trembling and the hot liquid nearly spilled. The owner began to tell me the story of Sally Ann. Sally Ann, her husband, brother-in-law, and 8-year-old son were the original owners of the home. Sally Ann had an affair with her husband's brother, and when he found out, the two men dueled in the hallway of the second floor. Both men died as a result of their wounds. Sally Ann's son died a year later. Sally died at the young age of 30 of what was said to be a broken heart. She shows herself only to people she approves of as guests in her home, but she is a kind of ghost and is treated as another member of the family. Every once in a while, we see her with her son. The two brothers are probably the ones responsible for the tools missing. Just haven't seen them. I'm thinking, great, Sally likes me, but I don't believe in ghosts. The owner continued their story. I hired a seer to come and evaluate the ghost situation. He identified all the ghosts. Family is buried in a cemetery nearby. He told me to rent a metal detector and search around the fifth fence post from the corner of the house. And I'd find her wedding ring. So I did. And 2 feet down was indeed the ring. Da-da-da!
That was a great story.
So there you go.
It was a really great story. Like, it was really well written and really well told. I was all about that one.
Adventures in real estate.
Now, wouldn't that be weird if you spent an entire day painting and you got back and it's this, like, the color you painted is gone? Like, that would piss me off. Because my guess is you would try it again, or I would do a test area.
Yeah.
But, like, that's crazy. Like, so much for missing tools. We painted that room.
I don't know how. Yeah. I don't know how I would handle that.
Yeah.
Just painting sucks in general. What would be, more upsetting is if you taped off a whole room and suddenly all the tape was gone. That would be even, more upsetting than the paint. It's like, no way. Uh-uh. I'm done.
I taped it.
Damn it. Yeah. Creepy story.
It's weird too that they had the duel in the house.
Who doesn't duel in the house? I mean, everybody's had a duel in the house story.
You know? Everybody duels outside. Yeah. Duel outside.
Last duel I had was actually in a laundry room. It was
okay. You're an inside dueler.
You know, what can I say? I had to duel someone over Jenny just a couple weeks ago. It was really just. Is the carpet cleaning guy, you know, that goes door to door. He's like, hey, I can shampoo your rugs, but I think I'm going to take your wife first, unless you're going to duel me in the laundry room. I'm like, shit. I'll do another damn duel.
Here we go again.
So I dueled him, but then I got a free shampoo of the rugs. So, and I think I own a timeshare now, too. It was bizarre. Only in Branson.
You don't really own it.
I don't really, no, but I can stay in it like 2.5 weeks out of the year on odd number days.
Yeah, right. Not consecutive days either.
Odd number. You got to kind of come and go every other day. It was really one of those things. So all the results of dueling in Branson. 855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, guys. I love the show. The main story that I wanted to talk about was I was recently, spending some time with my sister, you know, at her place. And, you know, the night that I came home, I got some McDonald's and I ate that Big Mac, you know, some fries before I went to sleep. But when I finally went to sleep, I was woken up. I was woken up by a whisper. it wasn't really a whisper. It was kind of like a soft, like a gentle voice, but it was an urgent, gentle voice. And it told me word for word, wake up. So I woke up. I looked around and, I was in my dark room. I only told one of my sisters this, little detail part about the first time that I woke up, from, being told to wake up. And, after, looking around and just being like, okay, why am I up? Like, why am I awake? I just went and grabbed, the half of the Big Mac that I ordered and I ate it and I went to sleep. And I was reluctant to tell anyone that part of the story. I didn't want to be that person. Like, are you crazy? even my sister was like, weren't you scared? Like, you just heard someone tell you to wake up. There's no one in the room with you. Why weren't you, paranoid or fearful from the beginning? And I was just like, growing up, I've always had things happening to me, things that I've seen, heard. So it wasn't anything new. And she just looked at me like I was crazy. And her reply was, so you grabbed a snack. Yeah, oh, that's great. And, so I went to sleep after my little snack. And, the second time that I went to sleep, I actually woke up and I could feel myself going into sleep paralysis. And, once again, growing up, I've always dealt with sleep paralysis. And I think I've gone to a point where, either I wake up before it happens or I wake up kind of in the middle of it. And when I say in the middle of it, I mean it feels like I'm just beginning to start sinking into my bed, or I'm swimming through mud and all that stuff. But I know for a fact that if I wiggled around enough, without any prayers or anything, that I could get out of it. So I got out of it, and this time I woke up, and that's when I started questioning things. And I stayed up for a couple of hours. I was texting, that sister, and I don't know why she was up, but I was texting her. And I even called my boyfriend and I told him what happened, because he knows that I deal with sleep paralysis. But I deal with sleep paralysis every now and then. It's not like every night. But I called him because he's a skeptic, and I wanted to hear something like, oh, it's nothing, so he did. True to his nature, he did. And he asked me, what did you eat before you went to bed? I was like, oh, McDonald's. He was like, well, maybe you shouldn't be eating McDonald's before you go to bed. I was like, I've eaten McDonald's plenty of times before I went to sleep, but maybe you're right, maybe I'm just getting older. And so with that thought in mind, it kind of brought peace to me for the short while that it did, and I went back to sleep. And the third time that I woke up was the worst time. And this time I couldn't move completely at all. And it was unlike any sleep paralysis that I really had. Because usually in the sleep paralysis that I have, I'm aware that I can't open my eyes, but I can see outside of myself somehow. And, I'd rather be able to see something, in my opinion. Like, if I can't move, I'd rather see it, see whatever's going on. And, this time, I couldn't open my eyes, and all I could see were the back of my eyelids. And, I think that was the freakiest time that I've ever had, because this was unlike any sleep paralysis that I've had. And so it was literally like I was awake and I couldn't open my eyes and couldn't move. Like, it wasn't like a dream or me being half asleep. So, with that, I, you know, like the first thing I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll just pray a little bit and then, you know, come out of it, because usually that's what happens. So, I mean, before I did my like normal prayers, I, you know, with the whole, you know, honoring my ancestors and, you know, asking for guidance, protection and all that stuff, you know, I called on them and I asked them for their protection, you know, this night and, or that night. And so after that, I started, you know, doing my prayers, you know, calling on Jesus' name and all that. And, sorry, you know, cause that's what my grandmother and my mother would tell me to do. And, you know, it worked every time. Like the more that I said my prayers, like the more I could be able to move around. And so, I was saying the prayers and then, you know, all of a sudden I heard something like rustling, like right next to me. And, you know, I wasn't afraid at that point, like I said, because I've, you know, been through, a lot of this, you know, never mind, you know, this being a different kind of sleep paralysis, but, you know, definitely hearing things and seeing things, like, you know, it's scary in the moment, but, I know that my prayers worked. So as this thing was rustling next to me, you know, I just, you know, I continued with my prayers, but then it started growling at me. And even still after the, you know, the initial growling, you know, I continued my prayers and, you know, I started praying harder. And the harder I prayed, the worse the growling got. And it felt like it was getting angrier. And, you know, I continued praying. But at one point, I just felt it get so mad, like the growling. I just felt like this thing just wanted me to shut up. And it would do whatever it could to shut me up. And at that point, that's when there was one moment where I got so scared, I just stopped praying. And like fear was just, you know, running through me. But also at that point, I was finally able to see outside of myself, like, you know, kind of like a normal sleep paralysis for myself. And, you know, as soon as, you know, I could see outside of myself, you know, like it's called an Ilavalava. And it's, you know, kind of like traditional, you know, Samoan, like clothing. But it's like a sarong, pretty much. It's like material that you like wrap around your waist and all that. And that material fell all around me in my bed, surrounding me. And as soon as that material fell all around me, that's when I was able to see, you know, a dark shadow on the other side, you know, just hunched over and just did not look human. And, you know, it was crazy because this little flimsy piece of material was, you know, what was, you know, between me and this thing. And
urgency.
My first thought was, oh God, now I can see it. Now I can see it. And this, you know, thing is just going to swat this material away like it's nothing. And, but that was the funny thing, because this thing, threw itself up against the fabric, and the fabric held. And this fabric, it was you know, light blue. It had like moving waves on it, like the design of waves, that you see in like, you know, traditional Samoan tattooing and art. And it was moving, like it was like an actual ocean. And so that was what was between me and the thing, even as this thing started, you know, throwing itself up against the fabric. And, you know, it would walk around my bed and, you know, try to, you know, throw itself up against to see if like, okay, is this part gonna, you know, collapse? Like, am I gonna get, I don't even know, but like the thing kept testing different areas and I was just sitting there watching it. And, you know, the more like the thing held, the more I was just like, this is my ancestors doing. Like, I don't know who, but this is my ancestors. And I just thought it was funny how, like, the moment that I lost all confidence and fear took over me, that's when this barrier, this protection barrier, you know, dropped down all around me. And so without a doubt, I know that my ancestors, you know, answered my call and protected me that night.
There you go. Coming out to protect when she needed them most. I like to stick, though, with Filet-O-Fish from McDonald's. I find that that gives me nice soothing dreams. The Big Macs, that's usually when the demonic shit starts coming out.
So I know I would have horrific nightmares. But, you know, I think it's interesting in cultures like Native Americans or in her culture, they do honor their ancestors. Mm-hmm. And then like us, we don't.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, it's like, who would better protect you than like your great grandmother, your great great grandfather, somebody? Sure. So I just think it's interesting how we don't even really think, like, we don't honor them in any way.
No, we don't. And then sometimes we're surprised when they're there. Yeah. And in other cultures, it's just accepted that no, this is what they're doing when they're dead. They're there to watch after you.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, if someone thinks there's an EVP in the middle of that call or not, it was just a particularly dangerous situation tornado watch that was issued for
her. I was wondering what that was. I looked at my computer.
It was the devil.
Is that us?
No, it was the devil.
It sounded like a weather lady.
Yeah. Morning. I got a notice. So I clicked on it in the middle and it's like, oh, that's special. And normally I when you have, when it says PDS warning, that's like, oh, shit. So it was supposed to be a nice sunny afternoon here in the Ozarks. Suddenly it's like, oh, we're going to have more crap weather. Yesterday when we were in the middle of recording, me and Jen in the middle of a story, all of a sudden tornado warning. We had to like go to the shelter in the middle of the show. So that was fun.
Really?
Yeah. We didn't do the rest of the show from the shelter. That'd be kind of awkward, but but we did have to stop. No one knew. We didn't like it. Just picked right back up.
Show must go on. And we think there's a tornado above.
Harper's in the other room.
Tell your ghost story.
Harper's banging in the wall in the other room. We gotta go to the shelter, Mom and Dad. No, ghost stories takes precedent. Must share ghost story. Save yourself, child. But
you know where that shelter is.
There'll be no shelter for anyone until the ghost stories have ceased. Yeah. Be lots of therapy for that poor child someday if that's that's how it went down. But no, yeah, I don't know what the hell happened today, but it's got that feeling outside of just, you know, shit's on the way.
So. Yeah, we got 6 inches of rain the other day on top of like all of the other rain we've gotten. And one day we get 6 inches and it's going to rain tonight and it's going to rain tomorrow.
It's never going to end.
Springtime in the Midwest.
Good times. Good times. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm going to go prepare our storm shelter as we get ready for Stormageddon for like the fourth day in a row. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. EPP over at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories helps to keep us alive. Literally and figuratively as well. So check that out and keep the show on the air. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.